Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome someone else. My sister's back from Birmingham. Yeah, I didn't have her back. She polished my shoes this morning. But I'm really excited about what I'm able to share this morning with you. I believe it is something that we all need to know, something that is incredibly important. Essentially, what we're going to be talking about is what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What is the purpose of it all? And the title of my point is Chosen for a Purpose. Now, I had a joke recently. It's which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses, because he wrote all the Ten Commandments at once. And we're going to be looking at the story of Moses this morning in all 3 points. So if you could turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 3 for me. Moses lived roughly 3,300 years ago. And at this point, the people of Israel have been in Egypt for about 400 years, and they were being oppressed by the Egyptians. So in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. We read, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Jumping down to verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So at this moment, Moses is probably thinking, great. The Israelites have been suffering, God has heard of their suffering, and he's going to deliver them and take them to the promised land. And you're probably thinking, who's God going to choose to carry out this incredible task? And we read on in verse 10, God says, So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God chose Moses. Let's think about that for a second. Moses was the guy who had been the prince of Egypt. And because of the circumstances he got himself in, he'd run away fearfully to Midian to live in voluntary exile for 40 years. So he'd gone from being a prince to like a nomad, because he was scared. He doesn't really sound that impressive, does he? They're thinking, God, are you sure? And how did Moses respond? In verse 11 we read, But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Even Moses doubted God's choice. And this story kind of reminds me of one of my favourite films, Kung Fu Panda. And there's a particular scene in the movie where the Kung Fu Master Chief is about to choose the Dragon Warrior, the person who's going to defeat evil and bring peace back to the valley. And he's going to choose from 5 people, the Furious 5, all of whom have been training for their whole lives for this moment. And part of the panda is just trying to get into the arena to see what's going on. So if we dim the lights, let's finish the play.
Then you, the birds, help drop us. that dragon warrior!
He couldn't believe it, no one else could believe it, just like Moses. So how do you think Moses was feeling? And we know a little bit about that from his response. He comes up with loads of excuses for God. He says, God, who am I? I don't even know your name. What if they don't believe me? I'm not eloquent. Please send someone else. He's making excuses. Because he's feeling shocked, he's feeling scared, he's feeling inadequate, he's feeling fearful. And why? Because God's purpose for his life might not be easy or comfortable. It will require change, and he's going to have to confront past fears and failures in going back to Egypt. But Moses, ultimately, he obeys, and it's because God has chosen him for a purpose. God believes in Moses, he thinks he has what it takes. God is going to be with him all of the way. He is good enough. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God has chosen us for a purpose. And for me, I find that incredibly exciting that he believes in me, that he's got a plan for me, that he has a vision for me, that he has goals for my life. But when I think about it, I'm excited about the future, about the things he's going to do in the future. But thinking about that happening now, that really scares me. And as for I'm thinking, I've got so much to deal with at the moment. I've got exam pressures in school, and friends to deal with, and family to deal with, and sports. And because of that, I really struggled with giving my heart to my walk with God. Since not that long after my baptism, I really struggled with reading my Bible regularly, praying regularly, and sharing my faith. So much so that I've been a disciple at my school for about 3.5 years. And I could count the number of people that I've wholeheartedly shared my faith with, probably with my fingers. I mean, that's embarrassing. I relate to Moses' fears, a feeling of inadequacy. I felt so inadequate compared to the example of Jesus and also to the disciples around me, especially in the teen ministry, seeing them making disciples with incredible relationships. And I felt like my existence was a bit meaningless, that if I wasn't here, the world wouldn't be that much worse. But I was reminded that I have been personally chosen by God for a purpose. Not some mundane little task of reaching out to a few friends here and there, but part of my purpose is evangelizing the whole world. I'd forgotten what I was here for. I'd forgotten that God had chosen me. And so for you, do you know why you are here on this earth? Do you know what your purpose is? Maybe you do know what it is, but you decided that you don't want to follow it or you've done nothing about it. What excuses do you make? Maybe you've been so busy that you've never really thought about the purpose that God has in store for you. How do you feel about it? But how does God feel about that? I honestly believe that some of us in this room are living our lives too comfortably, the way we want to live them. God himself has a mission for our life. Shouldn't that be exciting, a privilege? But some of us only align ourselves with God's purpose when it suits us. We read our Bible, we pray, we share our faith when it suits us. We fit it around the rest of our lives. I look around and I don't always see people that are living lives that are radically different from those who don't know what their true purpose is. We have nowhere to hide because we know what our purpose is. Either we live wholly for God's purpose or we live for ourselves. I mean, do we want to get to the end of our life and realize that it was all a waste, that we were living for the wrong thing? What are you living for? But it's encouraging to know that Moses acknowledged that he was chosen for a purpose, and God did incredible things in his life. Things that Tom and George are going to share about later. The path that God has chosen for us is a path of true purpose and true meaning. A path of genuine adventure and fulfillment that won't leave a void of dissatisfaction where we can impact the entire world. We are chosen for a purpose. We also have to make choices. I want to invite George up.
Good morning, guys. It's a blessing to be able to come here and share my convictions and some of my life with you. I want to thank Daniel for that awesome start to the sermon. Now, when someone mentioned Moses to me, the first thing that pops into my head has to be the Prince of Egypt. It was a big part of my childhood. You know, I felt like it was often you walk into the King of Kids and you see the TV in the front of the room, you just know that they've been on the Prince of Egypt. I think Moses is definitely one of the most impacting stories in the Old Testament. And considering four whole books in the Old Testament were devoted to following Moses' life, there's clearly a lot God wants us to learn from Moses and his example. We definitely see high points and low points throughout Moses' life, points in which he chooses to put his trust in God, and points in which he doesn't. My title today is Decisions Have Consequences, and what I want to do now is show you two key moments in Moses' life. Could you please turn to Exodus 14, verse 10? To give some context to that, at this point, despite Moses' complaints and the Pharaoh's stubbornness, the Israelites are led to believe that they are free from Egypt, and so they're at this point where they are running away from Egypt, and they're surrounded by this Red Sea, where they see behind them that the Egyptians have chosen to pursue them. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough rains for us in Egypt? What have you done for us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.' But Moses told the people, 'Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you just to save us.'" Skipping forward to verse 21, it reads, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the seas and dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left." You know, this point, the Israelites, they're terrified, they're panicking to the point, they're almost reminiscing their past life of slavery, they're looking their past life of slavery as a good thing. We see two contrasting mindsets. We see the Israelites who are in this slave panic, and we see Moses who chooses to trust in God. I think something that's awesome about Moses' decision to call out to God is he wouldn't have been able to comprehend how God could get them out of this situation. He hadn't seen a miracle like the separation of the sea on a physical scale like this, so he'd have had no idea how God could work in this way, yet he chose to trust in God and call out to him. Something else that I noticed when reading this is, on Moses' part, he didn't actually do too much. He chose to call out to God, he chose to place his trust, yet he performed a miracle that's still acknowledged 3,000 years later. Something that's important to ask when reading this is, what if Moses had made an alternative decision? What if he'd seen the expanse of the Red Sea and chosen to give up at this point? Would the Israelites have been enslaved again for another couple of hundred years? Or would they have been slaughtered there and then? Now I'm going to show you a low point in Moses' life. So if you can turn to Numbers 20, verse 8. Numbers 20, verse 8, it reads, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock to the community, so they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" And Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out of the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community to the land I give them." We see this point of Moses at a low point, if not the lowest point of his life. So he chose to disobey God at this point. There was a clear command for him to talk to the rock and the water would gush out. And he chose out of anger and frustration, despite the clear command, to disobey God and strike the rock twice. Again, we have to think of the alternative decision. Had Moses chosen to be obedient to God when asked to speak to the rock, what would have happened? I think he would have been probably the one putting God's people into the promised land he spent so many years searching for. Again, I think this small act of disobedience, Moses probably didn't think too much when striking the rock. This small act, God clearly shows the severity and magnitude of that sin in the way he chose with Moses. In each of the previously read passages, Moses makes a decision. He either makes a faithful or a faithless decision. And for each decision he makes, we see a clear consequence resulting from that decision. In Galatians 6:7, you don't have to turn, it says, "God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows." In my life, despite only being a Christian now for just over 3 years, I'm already starting to see the consequences of past decisions. I think one of my most regretful decisions has to be my complacent attitude to my faith. I settled for a lukewarm walk with God. Some of the ways I saw this I prioritised my social life at school over my life at church. So I missed midweeks of Bible studies to go to parties and gatherings at school. And you know, I even gained a bit of a reputation for this in the teen ministry. And I think just these small decisions to go to these over church, they have big consequences later on. I think something else is my personal Bible study, the time I spend in God's Word. A lot of that was just done simply to tick books and kind of say, "I've done it." And I think the decision that I see most today is where I place my security. I decided to gain my security from what people thought of me, especially my school friends, and especially attention I got from girls. A lot of my security was placed in that today, and I'm seeing the consequences today. I feel very, very insecure a lot of the time. Had I not made that decision, I'm not too sure how I'd be feeling. You know, it's a scary thing to think, had I not clearly seen this complacency, and had I not dealt with that, I'm really not too sure where I'd be today. You know, complacency, a lukewarm attitude to faith is a very, very dangerous thing. You know, throughout this time, I think one of the blessings and something I saw God work through so much is seeing a friend from school become a Christian. Many of you will remember Aaron, who's in Geneva at the moment. And you know, what I saw with Aaron is he went from this place of complete disbelief to this week, he celebrated his second year as a Christian. You know, he's in Geneva at the moment doing a 1 year challenge doing missionary work out in Europe with plans to go back to Europe and do more mission work, which is just incredible. And you know, on my behalf, I think it didn't take me much. God just worked so much through his life. So I simply invited him to a church meeting, and God just took over his life, and I'm seeing the most amazing things come from parents' decisions. You know, again, I think these small decisions can have the biggest impacts on our life. These small steps of faith can have the most amazing outcomes. That's the way God works. The question I have for you today is, what decisions do you think you have to make? What decisions do you feel like God would want you to make to get closer to Him? Perhaps you're in a cycle of complacency, like I was. Perhaps you don't even know how to get out of it. I really encourage you to talk to people about it. I really encourage you to make the decisions you feel God would want you to make. Perhaps you don't know where you stand with God at this point. Perhaps you're not even aware. If you want a relationship with God or need a relationship with God, I really encourage you to look into the scriptures, to study the Bible with someone, because this, our decisions, they really have consequences. That's a dangerous place to be in. Our decisions have eternal consequences, so we need to choose them wisely. I'm just going to invite Tom now to come up.
With a question. Alright, hold hands up. How many times do you think Moses was mentioned in the New Testament? Well, I want some hands. Hands, come on. Emily?
5 times?
Okay. 22. 15. Moses was mentioned 84 times in the New Testament. Honestly, this guy was a big deal. He had a Disney film written about him. Wouldn't that be so cool? 1,500 years down the line, and you had a DreamWorks film about your life. Alright, the title of my point is, you choose a sign of the Hebrews 11, chapter 23. No, Hebrews 11, verse 23. Alright, so some context to this, as Dan has pointed out, Moses was a prince. He was raised as like the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was actually an Israelite, but he grew up in the palace. Let's think of a prince today, Prince Harry, for instance. This guy, he can go over to wherever he wants, he can take a helicopter to the party that he wants to go to. He has the whole world in front of him. This is what Moses had. You can imagine Prince Harry laying down on the sofa, heel grapes dropped into his mouth as he just Alright, so in Hebrews 11:23 it says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered, because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. So we look at this, and we look at what did Moses have before he left Egypt. What did he have before he crossed that sea? Well, he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was treated as a prince. He had all the treasures of Egypt. He had pleasures of sin. He had the pleasures all the world had to offer him. And what did he trade that for? He traded it for disgrace for the sake of Christ, being mistreated along with God's people. Moses obviously saw something that we wouldn't naturally. Don't turn there. The Exodus 16 verse 3 says, this is when they're in the desert. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. As George was saying, these Israelites were complaining out in the desert. They wanted to go back and be slaves. They wanted to go back. They had meat there. They had food there. Imagine what it was like for Moses thinking back to his prior life in Egypt. He was not a slave of God's people. He had all the world had to offer him. The Israelites, they were stubborn. They disobeyed the commands of God. They were disrespectful to Moses and they were always complaining. Moses must have been tempted. He was respected back in Egypt. He was probably treated well. He was comfortable. And he, every day he had security in where his food was going to come from, and he had lots of it. By putting myself in Moses' shoes, I realized, and he must have realized at that time in the desert, that there was no going back. I look at the defining point which set Moses apart. It was when he crossed that sea. When he crossed that sea, he physically and spiritually cut off his old life. There was no compromises. This man was radical. Moses took a stand of faith to leave everything he had for God above all things. He valued his treasure in heaven and his relationship with God above all the things that he had in Israel, Egypt. Moses recognized that his 40 years when he fled to Midian, his 40 years in Egypt, had no impact. Sure, it was comfortable, but would we have anything to remember him for if he stayed there? He took no steps of faith. He always took the easy option whilst he was there. He recognized that the comforts of his life were choking his faith with God. What was the only way that Moses' faith could grow? It was by removing the things he knew in his life which were comforting. The things that he knew that he could run to if his faith didn't go through, if he wanted to back down in the situation. As it says back in the Hebrews, in verse 25, it says, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses knew that God and the things of this world was not a package deal. It was a choice, one or the other. He chose. He gave up everything so that he had God. He valued it more than being a prince. When he was in the desert, life was hard. Things were uncertain. He did not know where food was going to come from. He did not know where he was taking the people to. But every step, whilst he was out there, was of faith. And God rewarded that. He purposely placed himself in an area where there was no room to back down. He radically separated himself from his old, comfortable life. I believe this is why he's mentioned 84 times in the New Testament. This is why we know him 3,500 years after he lived. Moses was able to have one of the largest impacts this world has ever seen. I know for me, recently I've been actually having quite a lot of health troubles. Last summer I was taken into hospital because I had a virus and it spread to my heart. And my heart was it got inflamed. I was in a lot of pain. And I had myocarditis, and people died there. And gladly God got me out. But more recently, just for like a month ago now, I remember I started getting a lot of chest pains. And I remember thinking, I don't want to tell my mum because she's going to call up somebody, take me to hospital or something. And so she calls up like the late night GP, and then they put on some guy from the hospital, and my mum just gives me the phone, and I talk to this guy, and then I'm talking to him, and he's just like, yeah, we sent an ambulance like your way. And so the ambulance like came to my house and sent me to like chew on like different tablets and stuff like that. And then I get in the hospital and I'm waiting 4 hours with my mum in A&E, and the doctor comes back, my blood test results, and she's like, the troponin level of my blood, which indicates heart damage, it should be at 10, and mine was at 2,200. At that point, I knew things were actually pretty serious for me. I remember being in hospital. It was fun having people visit me, but I remember waking up at night and just in so much pain. I didn't have my family around me, and I remember thinking, like, is this it? Is this the end of my life? The fact is, all of us are going to go to hospital at some point. All of us, and some of us, the sad thing is, won't make it out like I did. But I look back at my life whilst I was in there, and I thought, did I really have an impact on the people around me? Did I really fulfill the purpose that God had set out for me? I look back and I was too comfortable. I drew on things which I felt secure in. And it's even little things like going, playing my computer, playing video games. This was something I could draw to because I knew I was good at. When I had a hard day, I knew I could go to something I was comfortable with. I did not fulfill God's purpose that he had for me. But when God did get me out, I believe he got me out for a reason. Guys, we all want to make an impact. We all want to have our mark on this world. As it says in 26, regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. But to the people who've just come here for the first time, what are we invested in? Is it the fleeting pleasures of sin? Is it the things of this world which won't last? The things that we will not be remembered for? And for the people who've been coming here for a while, the people who've committed their lives to God, I feel like we can perform a balancing act. We can have God, and we can have our comforts that we hold back to. We want to try living the most comfortable life possible and straight into heaven. That's not the way it works. That's not the way that we can have a fulfilling life. Moses made a choice. One had to go. When Moses crossed over that sea, he left his old life behind, and he made that choice. What are the things that we need to leave behind when we cross that sea? What are the things, the comforts, that prevent us from having a radical faith and wholly devoting ourselves to God's cause? Is it our dreams of earning more money, of getting that job promotion, of getting the newest, fanciest car, earning respect from the people around us at work, having a family, having a comfortable home? I know sometimes it's very easy for me to come home from school after a hard day and then just shut down and not want to push myself. Moses forced himself into a situation where faith was the only option. There was no food, there was no direction. How do we see God working in our lives? How do we get close to Him? We have to take a leap of faith. Moses took that step of faith, and we know God caught him. God caught him. I hear a lot, my faith isn't there yet, I don't know if I can do this. But how do we really get our faith there? How do we get to that point? We need to experience being caught by God. If we want to grow and mature, we need to leave our comfort zones. If we want more faith, we need to take steps of faith. I want to challenge you guys to do something this week which is uncomfortably faithful, which is something which you don't necessarily want to do but you know is right. Moses dedicated his life and he was wholehearted. Moses was the only prophet to see God's face. He was chosen to speak with Jesus on the mountain in the New Testament. Why is all this? Because Moses recognized you could not have both the world and make a meaningful impact through God. God wants us to choose Him, but only wholeheartedly. In Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Matthew 22:37, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Deuteronomy 30:10, if you obey the Lord your God and keep His commandments and His statutes which are written in the book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Guys, God wants wholehearted devotion. Why? Because it leads to the only life worth living. Because it leads to a life of impact. It leads to a life which leads a legacy. A life with a purpose. As Daniel was saying, God has a plan for it. He chose us. As George was saying, our choices have consequences. But I want to leave you with this question. You can't choose both. God or the world. You choose.
Thank you. That was fantastic. That was phenomenal. I want to thank all of the teams who served today, whether it be ushering, baking, preaching, sharing communion, the whole talks, the singing. I'll give you all a round of applause again. That was phenomenal. Daniel, George, and Tom just said. You know, we've been having sermons recently on Luke. We've been listening. A lot of it has been about listening. A lot of it has been about hearing the word and putting it into practice. They've given us some powerful illustrations today from the life of Moses and from their own lives. And I want to encourage us, what are we going to take away and put into practice? Moses is an inspiring character because his life could have been radically different. We look back and we go, oh, it worked out the way it worked out. But he had choices along the way. And his choices led to the life that he lived in the end. He could have stayed in Midian. He could have ignored the call. He could have backed down when facing Pharaoh. He could have fearfully given in that even at the waters of Egypt. He could have got even more frustrated with the Israelites in the wilderness. There were so many times he could have given up, he could have quit. He could have chosen the easy option, the comfortable option, the faithless option. I want to just thank him again, but I want to encourage us to put that advice into practice. In our own lives, where are we comfortable? Where are we just within our comfort zones? Where are we taking the safe option rather than the faithful option? And I think Tom's challenge, even if we just do one uncomfortably faithful thing this week, I think our lives will begin to change. Making those changes, making those steps outside of our comfort zone is where we need to be. I want to thank them one last time for a great encouraging way to close the service, not by man's design, but by God's design. We're going to have two baptisms today. We're going to have Aaron and Joel getting baptized today. We're going to have Aaron first. So if I can invite our Fionn and Aaron, wherever you are, to come to the front, you guys can share. I'm going to ask Fionn to film first. I'm just not to film first. To share. Fionn and Joel sorted down there. Someone else there. Fionn to share.
So we've been studying around, November time. And it's just been a real privilege studying with him. And we were one of those people at some point, I wasn't sure if he was going to make it. I was a bit. And he definitely put Jack through his paces, but he had. It's just incredible just to see, you know, God really work on someone's heart, and God really just soften someone's heart, and just to see where he's at now, where he's completely surrendered to God and just wants to commit his life. And that, that's incredible for him, but it's also incredible for, you know, Jack and I, just to be a part of it.
A clip ready because we have a bit of a surprise in a minute, so I'm feeling down again already. But first, I just want to share a little bit myself about Aaron. It's been a real encouragement to study the Bible with him. You know, when you see up on the screen, we're going to show a video in a minute, and that's his family in Germany. Now, Aaron grew up in the church out in Berlin. His family coming in Hanover. He's been around the church in Berlin, he's now 19. He moved over to the UK recently, so last year. How long have you been here? 7 months, 8 months? About 6 months he's been in the UK. Came on to go and experience London. He's an avid gym goer. Loves the gym, has a spin on. So, he's got a job at the moment, works in the gym. Been really engaged in the church. He's loved the church. We've been studying the Bible for a long time. But it's encouraging because just like Moses, Aaron's made that final decision. He wants to commit his life to God. He wants to live that life. Totally devoted to God and to the scriptures. And it's been encouraging to see his change in his heart, in his attitude, to see him give himself wholly to God. So I'm going to actually hand over to his family to share now. We get the lights. Hopefully this works well.
It's London Church. Greetings from Hanover. My name is Michael. I'm Aaron's dad.
My name is Monica. I'm Aaron's mom.
I'm Gwena, I'm Aaron's sister.
I'm Richard, I'm Aaron's brother. We're so glad, Aaron, that you made the decision to become a disciple of Jesus. And we'd like to thank the East London Church, the way they have helped you to come to this point. And also, we thank the Berlin Church, where Aaron has grown up.
My eyes are full of tears, but my heart is full of joy, and I hope that you will be able to spend the rest of your life according to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
I'll always say that to Jesus.
And we wish you God to save.
Aaron, one of the scriptures we read here from Mark 12, verse 13. This is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And that really is a lot of what it means to be a disciple. But I've got some questions to ask Aaron. And the first question being, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that God rose from the third day?
Yes.
And what is your good confession?
Jesus is Lord.
along with child baptism as well. So I'm going to hand over. Thank you so much, Aaron, and we look forward to that in a moment. And to his family, so Barry, Nancy, Georgia, all to come up to the front.
Very grateful for that. We've had some uncomfortable conversations,
they needed to happen. The way John has expressed himself is still seasoned with salt when necessary, but it's also surrounded with love, with grace, and deep trust in God. You used to come to church when you were small, like Aaron does now, a superhero. But today, you're going to leave this building clothed in Christ. And also with the Holy Spirit inside you. I'm going to read you now just a verse that was read at my baptism, and it's been an anchor for me, particularly in recent times, but it also, I believe, will be an anchor for you. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And the thing is, the world is broken. People are broken. We are broken and damaged. But Jesus is in us. And today, I'm very, very proud of the decision that we've made. And I'm very grateful to you guys for doing what you've done, particularly in my absence. It's a very special thank you.
We're encouraged to witness this special day for both Aaron and Joel. And right now, Joel, I've got a few questions to ask you. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that God rose him from the dead?
I do.
And what is your good confession?
Jesus is Lord. Amen.
And that baptism will happen just after the service. Thank you so much, sir. You can take a seat. And we're going to close out the service here. We're going to close out in prayer. Just final, very quick announcements. Just want to remind you, on the back, you will see a very extensive lost property table. Okay? This is not a grab what you want, just yet. This is a grab what is yours. Please look at it. Even if you don't think you've lost anything, there might be stuff there from years ago that you've forgotten about. Please do check that tape out. Also, a final encouragement, please register for the singles conference coming up in just a couple of weeks, and then marriage retreat coming up in just about 3 weeks now. So make sure we sign up those. But why don't we pray to close out our incredible team service and pray for these two new members about to get this. Dear Father God, we thank you so much for your blessings, God, for your glory, for your honour, for who you are, Lord. I thank you so much for the honour that you have bestowed upon all of us. I thank you so much for the love, the grace, the mercy, the compassion that you have given all of us, Lord, helping us to also be able to love each other the way that you love us. But thank you so much for just an incredible service you have given us today. Thank you for the hearts of these young men and women, Lord, that have served diligently to make this an incredible and special service for everybody, Lord. What I clearly see when I see these young people here, God, is I see you working powerfully. Mm-hmm. This is in no way reflective of the world. This is in no way reflective of young men and women of this world, Lord. They do not do these kind of things. It's reflective of men and women who have been redeemed, God, who is bestowed upon your Spirit, Lord, and who have been forgiven their sins and are able to serve powerfully and diligently, Lord. I see your Spirit working powerfully through them, and I'm so grateful that you allow us this blessing of being able to even witness this today, God, and being able to see you work in this way. May we in our lives, God, strive to live faithfully, live dependent on you in all that we do, Lord. And as the example of Moses shows, Lord, that we choose the faithful decision and not the fearful or the comfortable decision. Pray that we can all leave here and make a decision to want to change, to want to strive towards you, Lord, to want to hand over things that we are holding on to, God. To just want to give more to you and give our hearts wholeheartedly.
We love you. We thank you. Praise the name. Amen. Those baptisms will be soon after the service, but please enjoy some fellowship. There are special cakes and special cups and various other things. There are bookmarks on your chairs as you will see. Have a lovely time of fellowship. Thank you.